Those in prayer who couldn't make it here tonight, some are out of town, some are working, some are ill. So we want to remember them tonight in prayer. I want to thank you for your prayers as well for the ministries that we have throughout the week. God has tremendously given a lot of liberty in those ministries, and it's just a joy to see some of these. Most of them are elderly ladies, but it's just a joy to see some of them getting excited about Christ and the things of Christ. And Monday I had one lady that's been coming, well, since the beginning actually, and she's been kind of like adamant about showing any kind of excitement or joy in the Bible studies. And yesterday for the first time we finished up the Gospel of John, and yesterday for the first time she just had a smile on her face and her eyes were just bright and gleaming, and she said she's enjoying the Bible studies, and it's just refreshing to her to hear such things about Christ. And so it's really a joy to see that, and it's really a joy to see God moving. And the same thing with the Holiday Hill this morning. It was tremendous liberty in Philippians, and so God's truly blessing those ministries, and we want to thank the Lord for that. So, I visited Patty this morning, Brother Sheffield's wife, and she said the other day she was sitting in her room, the doors open, and she said she heard a conversation out in the hallway, and they were talking about our services, Grace Baptist Church, and the sermons that we have been having, and how some of the ladies are. So it's spreading up there, and it's just a delight and a joy to see and hear that the Word of God is being spread abroad, and people are excited about the things of Christ, and that's what it's all about. So that's what it's all about. So I rejoice in telling you that this evening, and hope and pray God would continue to bless those ministries as well, and even open up effectual doors for even more ministry. There's a lot we can be doing, and so we continue praying about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me go ahead and start with verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. The greatest of these is charity. I can't wait to get to those verses towards the end of the chapter, but we'll concentrate on the ones we're looking at now. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your love towards us. Father, we would never have known anything about what love is unless, Lord, we came to know Your love through Your saving grace. You're a God of love, and we thank You that, Father, we love You because You first loved us. Father, we pray that, God, You would help us to understand more about this Queen of all graces, this charity which never faileth. We pray that, God, You would truly by Your Spirit impart and engraft this virtue not only with inside of our hearts and our minds, but Father, make it, Lord, a part of our lives. I pray that we would strive and yearn and long to know more of its power. We long to know more of its comfort, of its effectual working in our hearts and our lives, that Father, we can be better servants, Father, that our best gifts can, Lord, profit others. We pray that, God, You would help us in all our weaknesses and infirmities. You know, from nature, Lord, we're selfish and we're self-conceited and self-centered, and we know very little about this gift of charity. We need to know so much more. We pray that, God, You would humble our hearts and, Lord, help us to be inspired and excited at the same time that we might know more of this charity. May we truly follow after charity in seeking and coveting the best of gifts, Father. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all You've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Dearly beloved, throughout this entire chapter, the Apostle Paul has been declaring the great value and significance of charity in the life and service of the true believer. And I want to emphasize that because so often we separate 1 Corinthians 13 from everything else Paul is speaking about. But in its context, Paul is speaking about the place of charity, the role of charity, the influence, the effectual working of charity in and with our best gifts. And so Paul is declaring its great value and its significance in the life and in the service of the believer, that without this charity, we're actually nothing. We profit nobody. We profit not ourselves, we profit not others, and we certainly don't profit the glory of God if we're not filled with this spirit of charity. Now, I know the world takes charity or love and they kind of water it down. They give it a false declaration, a false illustration, and a false example. But, beloved, still, charity is a vital part of our Christian life. It is most essential for us as believers to covet the best gifts, but in doing so, to covet them with the desire that charity might be their sole motivation. And so, it's important that we understand that and don't allow the world to dictate to us what love or true love and true charity is all about. I think a lot of believers are afraid of charity. You know, we were telling my wife the other day, we're creatures of extreme. Either we're on this side of the ditch or we're on this side of the ditch, and it's hard for us to maintain a balance. It's very difficult. In fact, that's something that we have to constantly be doing as Christians throughout our entire life. I found in the 24 years I've been saved that though I understand something about the sovereignty of God, and I do emphasize something, not a whole lot, but something, I also understand there's the responsibility of man, the servitude of man, and sometimes it's hard for me to keep a fine balance. Sometimes we're afraid to exalt one above the other one. If we exalt the sovereignty of God, we're taking away the responsibility of man. Or if we exalt the responsibility of man, we're kind of doing away with the sovereignty of God. And to maintain that balance sometimes, dearly beloved, is very difficult to do. And yet, it's something that we always have to strive for. Amen? That we always have to strive for. And we're not the best creatures to maintain such a divine balance. We actually are not. And so it's something that we constantly need to be striving after. And it's the same thing with charity. For no other virtue is more influential. No other virtue is more effectual or efficacious. You want a long term for it. No other virtue is more motivating than that of charity. Nothing motivates, nothing influences, nothing is more effectual than love. In fact, at the end of the chapter it says, these three abide, but the greatest of these, Paul even puts above hope and faith, is charity. It is the most influential thing that we have as believers. It's the most effectual virtue. It will affect more for the truth of God than the coldness or the deadness of the letter, if you're following my train of thought. And I say that because we live in a generation where there's plenty of that. People know the Word of God and they live it and they teach it and they preach it with coldness and indifference and this is the truth, and you either accept it or you don't, and if you don't, that's your problem, and basically that kind of an attitude. And yet, that doesn't affect as much as saying that same truth in the spirit of charity. It is the most influential virtue that we have. Love is that which sets faith to work. In other words, it energizes and motivates faith into action. Galatians 5:6, faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. So, even with this great virtue of faith, even with this wonderful gift from God, and Jesus Christ being the author and finisher of it, still the Bible says this faith worketh, energized, it is activated, it is put into action, it is motivated to do something by love. That's an amazing verse. Love is the greatest motive to obedience. John 14:15, our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now we know keeping God's commandments is an order. It's a commandment from God. And yet the Lord teaches us that true, it is a commandment, and we are commanded to love, we are commanded to keep His commandments. Yet the Lord is simply saying in that verse, but if you keep my commandments and you don't do it for love, then you're not keeping my commandments. You can never keep my commandments if you don't keep my commandments because you love me. So see, love is the greatest motive to obedience. Perfect love, 1 John says, does what? It casts out fear. Fear and terror. If we fear, we're not made perfect in love. So perfect love even casts out that great enemy of our conscience and of our heart, which is fear. Fear is tormenting. The Bible says love casts that out. It expels fear when it's made perfect. And it is love which bears arms together with faith in keeping the heart of every true believer by their putting on the breastplate of faith and love. It stands side by side with faith in Paul's illustration of a breastplate protecting the heart. And that's what the breastplate did, protecting the heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. Now add that, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Add that to everything, just a few verses we've read about love's influence and motivation and effectual working. Add our verse here in chapter 13, verse 13 with it, that charity is the greatest of them all, and you can't deny the infinite value and significance of charity. You must humbly say, there's something more to charity that I have not yet grasped, because I'm not using it as much in my service as I ought to. Beloved, sometimes we think charity comes simple or easy, or we think charity is something that people has to understand, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I love you. But we can say and do things, and our actions speak different than what our words are saying. You follow my train of thought? That's why Paul is saying in chapter 12, verse 31, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, but I show you a more excellent way. He's saying, but as you're doing that and you're wanting to covet those best gifts, don't forget to adorn them with charity, because if you don't, like we read in the first three verses of chapter 13, anything you try to do is going to be vain and profitless if it's not done out of charity. Charity isn't part of our nature, is it? We're not prone to exercise this kind of charity. We went through almost the entire chapter. We're not prone to exercise that from our nature, are we? Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, suffereth long, envieth not, vaunteth not, puffeth not up. That doesn't come natural to us. So, beloved, if charity is greater than faith and hope, should we not concentrate on exercising charity more in our lives, just like we do faith and hope? And beloved, it works. Charity never faileth. It never faileth. Because charity suffereth long, for example. And we'll see that in a few minutes. Hopeth all things, endureth all things, believeth all things. It cannot fail. Charity cannot fail. Sometimes it's long and waiting. But beloved, when we show charity to people, while we're contending for the faith and while we're upholding the truth of God, but doing that all in charity, beloved, we're going to have more influence on people than if we just simply did that in a spirit of antagonism, stubbornness, arrogance, pridefulness, self-seeking. But if charity is involved in all those things, it might be long in waiting, but charity will succumb more hearts than simply knowledge puffed up. I remember reading, I'm probably saying his name wrong, but D'Abergini, Reformation of the Church, or the Reformation, I mean. And he was writing about the time of Reformation in England, and I'll be quick with this illustration, but they had sent a man into a very wicked city, and he was sent to preach the gospel, and after a few months he came back, and there was a crowd of preachers standing there, and the church that sent him out, and he said, there's no use going in there. Those people are wicked and vile and ungodly, and there's just no sense. I mean, we're not going to get anything accomplished. The gospel will not be successful there. They're just too vile and wicked. And one of the preachers in the background stepped up and very humbly asked the brother, he said, maybe if you'd went with more compassion and love and pity, you would win more hearts. And so they said, well, why don't you go in instead? Long story short, it wasn't 6 months later and almost the entire village had been converted to Christ because someone went in and showed compassion and pity and love. You see, there's a big difference. Simply because we're dealing with sinners and a wicked generation doesn't mean that we're not supposed to show them charity in giving them the truth, compassion in showing them the truth about sin and the punishment of sin. And charity must be in there somewhere. If it's not, then we lose the message, actually. That's why it's hard for me to understand how so many preachers can preach on hell or eternal damnation, and you almost get the sense that they're kind of glad such a place exists. And there's no pity and compassion in pleading and beseeching their hearers to turn from their ways that they don't suffer such punishment. You see, that's compassion. That's charity in its essence. Let us then covet earnestly the best gifts, but let us also follow after charity in doing so. Otherwise our best gifts shall be but vain and profitless. Look at verse 7. Beareth all things. Charity beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. I'm going to try to quickly go through all of these, looking at the first one the longest. We'll see how time allows us to do that. Charity believeth all things. Now, beloved, I need to get you to understand this evening, this is not implying that charity simply believes all and everything without making any discrimination between right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error. That's not what he's saying. Embrace everybody, embrace everything. That's not what he's saying. When he says charity believeth all things, he's not saying let's just join hands with all denominations and let's just skip all the way to heaven and forget about the truth. And I'm sure you know that's not what Paul is saying. Keeping it in context, I'm humbled to say this, but it's reality. I don't agree with Jonathan Edwards here. I read his book on charity and the fruits, and it's a good and excellent work, probably the best one on charity. But I don't agree with Jonathan Edwards here. He doesn't believe it has to do with the context. He believes it has to do with something else. I believe it has to do with the context. The context is, covet earnestly the best gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. He's still talking about charity being implemented in our best gifts, in our service to man and before God. He's not jumping out of context. Just like later on, he's not jumping out of context. And this is my personal opinion, and I respect others who believe different, but that which is perfect is come. It's not talking about Christ or the Bible. It's talking about charity, sticking to the context. That's my personal opinion. It just seems kind of weird that Paul would talk the whole time about charity and then jump over to Scriptures or jump over to Christ and come completely out of context and then come back to charity. That's nothing that we have to argue about or anything else. That's just my own personal persuasion, and that's my belief of that context. And I could possibly be wrong there, and I'll give some room for that, but I believe it to be more about charity there. But we'll look at that when we get that far, and I hope and pray I can do it in a way that's humble enough to realize there's room for error, even in my understanding of that text. Believe me, even preachers don't have infallible
understanding about every text in the Word of God. There are some texts, if not many, many texts, we'd rather, probably more than we'd like to confess, that stumble us and confuse us. But anyway, with that said, charity believeth all things. He's not simply saying it embraces everything. Because true charity rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So what's Paul saying? Well, it implies that in all our service and relationships, and follow me, okay, this is very important, because if you don't, you might tend to get this wrong. But what it's implying is that in all our service and relationships toward men, especially those of the household of faith, charity will strive to think and believe the very best of others. Okay? It believeth all things. It's not quick to think the worst of others. In fact, that's not the first thing that comes to its mind. It believeth all things. Charity wants to, or would rather err, if I could say so, on the side of grace rather than on the side of judgment. We live in a generation where people would rather err on the side of judgment rather than grace. If charity's in our hearts, charity, when something happens contrary to us, or something happens to where we have maybe an opposition, or maybe we're in our service, we're being opposed by somebody. Maybe in our Christian relationships, somebody doesn't think the same way we do, or maybe they react different. Charity doesn't quickly move to condemnation and criticism. Charity will put in your heart and your mind to think the best of that situation rather than the worst of it. You see, charity gives room. Believeth all things. It's not quick to jump into judgment and criticism of anybody, either in service or in our relationships. I had a brother over in Germany that actually I learned more from him about this grace than I did any place else. His name was Brother Karl Heinz. And he's still a deacon over there. And I would always have him and Steve whenever there were situations in the church. I'd love to have Brother Karl Heinz there. I didn't have another elder, but I'd love to have Brother Karl Heinz there, because Steve tended to be a little bit upfront and blunt, and which is good. I tended to be straddle the fence sometimes. Sometimes I didn't really know. I wanted to. Karl Heinz, on the other side, though, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter what anybody did in the church. He'd always find something good to say. Well, maybe they did this because of that. Maybe we're not understanding this. And every time we sat down and dealt with the church problem, it was Karl Heinz who would intercede on their behalf, thinking always the best before he thought the worst. That's what charity does. Charity refuses to think immediately the worst. You follow me? Well, maybe my brother had a reason for doing that I don't understand. His actions maybe give me reason to not think that, but maybe there's something I don't know about. Here's wisdom. As you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you begin to understand sometimes people do things because of certain circumstances. And I'm not saying that justifies their actions, but that could give us some understanding why they did what they did, which gives us a little bit more patience with them. We're so quick to judge situations without knowing all the evidences, all the facts. Charity doesn't do that. Charity will step back and say, well, wait a minute, let me consider this. Charity will always be ready to believe the best until proven otherwise. I'll give you a few verses. Proverbs 18:13. Proverbs says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it. Charity enables us to not answer before we hear it. Charity will always think the best of your brother, especially a household of faith. He'll always think the best of your brother before it'll think the worst. And beloved, that's the way Christians should always respond towards one another. We should never think the worst first and then later on repent, because we should be thinking the best first. You see, we've got it wrong. So many problems and schisms and divisions in the church can be solved if we had a charity that believeth all things, that thought the best first and not the worst. Because the best would say, wait a minute, let me get all the facts. Let me stand back a little bit and let me consider everything first. I want to think the best about this brother before I think bad about him.
That's not weakness, beloved. That's wisdom. That's charity. Job 29:16, Job said, "The cause which I knew not, I searched out." It's charity. "The cause which I knew not, I searched out." Beloved, charity exercised in our best gifts will never be quick to condemn, judge, or criticize. It'll never be first to do those things, but rather, like I said, it would much rather err on the side of grace than it would on the side of judgment. Now, that doesn't mean charity does away with truth and error. It doesn't mean that charity overlooks something. It doesn't mean charity overlooks church discipline. It doesn't mean charity overlooks seeking that a brother repent. It's not saying those things, but it's saying the first thing charity will do will do its best to believe the best about a brother rather than the worst. So many brethren and sisters could be won back to reconciliation if our attitudes and if our behaviors were governed by this kind of a virtue in dealing with problems, rather than going with a vindictive or judgmental spirit. I'm not saying that'll work all the time. Charity realizes that. But I'm telling you one thing, beloved, it's great comfort entering into any kind of difficult situation like that, even though at the end of it, maybe the brother was erroneous, he was wrong, he was guilty. It's a whole lot better, and you'll feel a whole lot better in your heart and your mind that you gave grace to a brother rather than immediately criticize and condemn him. Believe me, it's going to profit you and your brother, because it's going to show them that you had some wisdom about yourself, some maturity about yourself, and you wasn't so quick to condemn him. I can't count the times as a preacher I've had to pull my foot out of my mouth because I've jumped into a situation too quick, thinking that I have the spiritual understanding to judge the situation, not knowing all the facts. Only later on having to repent to a brother or a sister that I should have got all the facts first. That's why when people come to me now and say, "Well, there's some problems in the past and this and that," I take everything by a grain of salt and I don't try to make a judgment on what third parties tell me, because I've found out by experience, and some of it very sorrowful, you can't judge a situation by that. And I'm praying and hoping that charity gives me that patience and that long-suffering to think the best of everyone in hopes that God would be glorified and everything would be brought to a point to where there would be unity and harmony and the cause of Christ would not be offended. Amen? And I think the next two just follow right from that same thought. It beareth all things. I think they're all four, actually. Verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Same thing. It hopeth all things. It hopeth, it has hope that things can be resolved. It has hope that there's going to be a relationship brought back together. It has hope that whatever it's seeking to achieve, it's going to be fulfilled. It has hope. Charity has hope. Hope that things are not too difficult. Hope that things are not... There's not been so much sin that it can't be reconciled and brought back. There's hope in charity. The hope in all things. That's what he's talking about. Again, the context is service and relationships. Well, brother, we can't save this relationship. I mean, there's been too much done in the past. I mean, there's just too many scars now. I mean, we can't get over this. I mean, these relationships are severed forever. Charity says, "No, I hope all things. I believe all things." Charity, dearly beloved, is that which enables us not to give up so quickly, but to reach out our hands and our arms in love and compassion in our service and our relationship towards one another in hopes that things can be brought back to order again. Charity has that kind of hope. If you don't have charity, you're not going to have that kind of hope. Then we're going to say, like a majority of other people, "Well, there's no help in this cause. It's too late." Beloved, I don't want to go too much longer in this, but
I know we've all been in situations in our Christian life where we've had relationship problems amongst the brethren, whether it's been here or in other places where we live. And to some degree, maybe sometimes we thought that this is non-reconcilable. We can't reconcile this. It's never going to be what it used to be. I hate to hear that from believers. I really do. It grieves me to hear that from believers, that it can never be the same as it was. Why can't it be? There's a human factor in there. I know there's a human factor in there, but we're new creatures in Christ. All things are possible. Charity says that. Charity says, I believe all things. I hope all things. I bear all things. I endure all things. It hopes. You say, preacher, what happens when that hope is destroyed? Or what happens when that hope is abused? Beloved, even though we have times of sorrow and lamenting over such situations, charity still gives us grace that we at least hoped. You follow my train of thought with that? You see, I'm talking about something we know very little of and we should strive to know more of. I think the best illustration that I can come to my mind at the moment is when our Lord stood on the hill of Jerusalem, looked over Jerusalem, and wept over Jerusalem. He knew that they were going to crucify Him, and He showed compassion and pity, and He said, I would have, but you would not. That's charity in its essence. And Ecclesiastes says something about, I'd rather go into the house of mourning. Amen? I've been working on a message on that verse and waiting for the right time, but wonderful truths in that. Why would you want to go into the house of the mourning? Oh, there's a lot of blessings in the house of the mourning. If it's biblical, scriptural mourning. But beloved, even if, in the worst case scenario, even if all things turned out opposite of what we wanted and desired and longed for, because we had charity that beareth all things, that believeth all things, hoped all things, endured all things, beloved, even though it's going to be a time of lamenting and sorrow, I'm telling you, there's going to be a working of grace in our hearts. Charity never faileth. It never faileth. It never faileth. It holdeth all things. It endureth all things. And endureth all things. I can endure this. I can wait it out. I can press forward. I can keep hoping. I can keep believing. I can keep bearing. He endureth all things. That's charity. Again, beloved, we're talking about the effectual workings of charity here. Not just perseverance of the saints, not just faith, not just believing, not just bearing, but charity, the effectual workings of charity. Charity does this. I say that, beloved, because I've ran into a lot of people and I've been guilty of it in my past, and I don't say that with any kind of pride or anything else, but I say that because there's a lot of situations I've ran into to where people just amongst believers to where they to some degree just write somebody off because of their viewpoint, their convictions, their lifestyle, or whatever they've done. They just in their minds have write them off. Well, you can just forget about that guy. Well, why? Well, you just don't know who he is. That might be true, but charity says, I'm going to bear all things. I'm going to believe all things. I'm going to hope all things. I'm going to endure all things. Well, you go ahead and make the mistake. Well, then let me make the mistake in the spirit of charity. Because, you know, you never know the heart of a man. You never know what God can do in the heart of a man. And it appears, though, sometimes that some of us act as though we know the heart of man better than God. There's no redeeming him. There's no redeeming her. There's no redeeming that situation. Charity says, I don't believe that. Amen? Beloved, I know, again, there's a cloud of mystery in this. There is. It's the greatest of gifts. It's greater than faith and hope. Charity never gives up. It never quits. And it never fails. Even if we lament over it, sorrow over it, charity's still working. Amen? It never faileth. Can't get more clear than that. It never faileth. That's Scripture. I didn't say that. Paul said charity never faileth. There's that mystery. May God grant us mercy and grace to embrace what Paul's telling us about charity and help us as we seek now to close out this chapter. But may we continue to pray over these effectual workings of charity. May they be more evident in our lives, that we might be better servants and our relationships with one another would be matured. Amen. And grow. Because that's what we need. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your Word and how we do pray that, God, this charity would be more evident in our hearts and our minds. And Father, I know we have a long way to go. We pray that, God, You'd help us to understand this more. We know this isn't a weakness, something that overlooks error and something that overlooks, Lord, sin and all these things. We know that charity rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. And yet, charity, Lord God, needs to be adorned in all that we say and do. And Lord, as we covet the best gifts You've given us, Lord, may Your Spirit help us to adorn ourselves with this queen of all virtues, this queen of all graces, that, Father, we might exercise more charity in all that we do, and, Father, that we might learn the rewards of it, Father, the blessings of it, not only in our own lives, but, Father, as we reach out to those that maybe the world's given up on, maybe others have written off, maybe those who, Lord, appear to have no hope, Father, I pray that You'd help us to strive and grow more in charity. We need it so much in our church, in our lives, Father. We pray that You'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.